Amen. You may or may not notice we have a new sound system today. And thank you. Thank you for helping provide that. I think the group will be back. It's not a finished project yet, but they had reached a stopping point where it was good to stop and have us for today. We've got several people that have spent about 5 hours between Friday and Saturday here at the church just trying to turn knobs and play with us a little bit to learn it. So why don't you give them a hand? And I've got to get used to it because I don't know if you heard me. During the offertory, as they're playing the music, I turned to my wife and I said, "I love you," and I heard it over the system. So I don't know if you heard that, but she heard it, and I heard it, and I'm going, "Oh boy," and I think Lance heard it over here. So I do love you, and I'm glad to tell everybody that. It is a difficult thing to preach a sermon when you know that Thanksgiving dinner is immediately following. And probably the thing that would be harder than preaching the sermon is to listen to a sermon when you know that Thanksgiving dinner is immediately following. And so I'll try my best to keep all of that in mind, and hopefully we can get to the dinner hour and enjoy some time together around the table. But before the sermon, I do have three things I want to promote to you. And the first would be that dinner, which is following the service today. We hope that you'll stay and enjoy that time. And if you forgot that today was the day and you didn't bring food, stay anyway. And if you're a visitor, by all means, we want you to stay and eat with us today. And hopefully you can see that this is a good place to be. And you'll find out very quickly that the Reinhardt cooks are second to none. I assure you of that. The second thing I want to mention to you is next Sunday, we're going to have a Thanksgiving and praise service. There will be no sermon, lots of singing, several testimonies, scripture being read, prayers being prayed. The whole service is going to center on Thanksgiving. And so I hope that you will come and be a part of that service. If you're around for the Thanksgiving holiday, if you're staying at home, please make next Sunday morning a priority and mention to your family, well, let's go to church together and center on Thanksgiving together. The third thing that I want to mention to you is December 2nd, and we have that on the screen here. The Dirks family is going to bring a Christmas concert that evening, 6 o'clock. And along with that concert, we'll look forward to that. Along with that concert, one of our own members, Jennifer Dalton, is going to give a testimony of what God has done in her life. Now, you think about that. You have Christmas music and you have the testimony of a changed life. Those are two things that just will impact our lives if we will be here that evening. So please make that a priority. December 2nd, that's a couple of weeks away on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. After today, we are putting the book of Matthew on the shelf for about 6 weeks, because that will, following the Christmas or the Thanksgiving service next week, then we'll enter into the December month and the Christmas season. We're going to do a Christmas series of sermons during the month of December. I was looking at my records. We have been in the book of Matthew for 27 weeks. We have been making our way through that book. Started that series in the month of April of this present year. And we are finishing Matthew chapter 11 today. And so you think about that, almost 2 weeks per chapter, or even more than that, if you see that my math isn't very good. But we will pick Matthew back up in January. And I have that series already lined out for us. We will finish Matthew probably in the month of October of next year. It is a long series. We will have spent about 17 months in the book of Matthew. I told you before I started this series that it would be a long series. But I really can't think of anything better to preach on than Jesus. Amen? I hope that you are gaining a more knowledgeable grip on the book of Matthew, and that you are entering into a deeper walk with your Savior Jesus. The theme of Matthew is Jesus is King. He is the King of the Jews, and I pray and trust that He is your King too. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be covering verses 20 through 30 today, and we will see a woe and we will see a promise. First of all, the woe. And verses 20 through 24 of Matthew 11 is what I want to read. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The word woe, W-O-E, is not a word that we use in our vocabulary very often, but it is a word that Jesus used several times in Scripture. The Greek word is ouai. Ouai. It's an exclamation of grief and almost always in denunciation. In other words, if you get woed by somebody, it's not good. If my wife says woe to me, I can know that I'm in trouble. It's not a good situation. Now, if she's wooing me, that's better. But if she's woeing me, that's not good. We don't want to get woed by anybody. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. I want you to see how Jesus uses the word woe in Scripture. Several times he uses this word woe. Matthew 18, verse 7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. Matthew chapter 23. 8 times he uses the word woe towards the Pharisees. Definitely he was grieved with them, but he was also exasperated with them. One of those times he says this: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. That should give you an idea of this word woe, that when Jesus uses it towards someone, it's not a good situation. Matthew 26, 24, he uses the word woe again, this time in reference to Judas Iscariot. He said, "The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. So if Jesus uses the word woe to you, it's not a good thing. In our text today, he uses it towards three different